Good morning. How's everybody doing? I hope so. After that kind of worship, I hope you guys are ready to go. I hope that we are ready to walk out of this place, charge a hill together. Anybody like that, feeling that right now? Well, come on. I'm hoping that after we open God's word, we're going to be called to even more and challenged to go get it in every single way. Well, I want to start off, as Pastor Jarrett said, I am the student pastor here. And let me just really quickly say, it is an honor to serve the student ministry here at Champion Forest. God is doing something incredible here. And I am so honored to be a part of that. And I love this student ministry and I love this church. But I'm going to start off with a quick couple of quotes here to kind of break it down. It's the next gen representative up here. Here are some things about generations for you. Here's one of them. The now generation has now become the me generation. Anybody agree with that? Okay. Here's another quote for you. They have trouble making decisions. They would rather hike the Himalayas than climb a corporate ladder. They crave entertainment, but their attention span is as short as one zap on a TV dial. They postpone marriage because they dread divorce. Agree with those statements, maybe? It's easy when we think of generations to go ahead and categorize them in so many ways. Well, let me go ahead and quickly tell you that first quote, the now generation has now become the me generation, was in the New York Times in 1976 about the boomers. Yeah, watch out. It's easy to go ahead and say, well, that generation sure does know Jesus, need to know Jesus. And it's true, but it's across all generations. And right here, the second quote was from Time Magazine in 1990 about the Xers, the Gen Xers. So can we just all right now just have an even playing field saying we all need Jesus? Is that okay? Can we all just right here say that we're here in need of a Savior and that's why we're gathered in this place? And it doesn't matter the generations, it doesn't matter those different things. It's all about Him and His name being lifted high. Well, I am honored to be able to wrap up our Promise Keepers series here. Now, when I first heard that this was gonna be our series, it took me right into the early 90s. That's right, I'm an older student pastor, okay? But took me into the 1990s and the Promise Keepers movement. Does anybody in here remember the movement that happened in the early 90s? That's right. The Promise Keepers movement was a men's movement where men began to gather together. It started in Colorado with Bill McCartney, the head coach of the University of Colorado Buffaloes, right? We know them now because Deion Sanders is there and all the hype that's gathered around. But there was something different then. Bill McCartney had this desire to gather with other men and to be able to challenge them to more, to be challenged to do more, to step into more, to not settle for the status quo that would be given to men, the title that would have been handed out to, and labels handed to men as we began to gather with them. And the reason this stands out to me so much is I remember being a part of that as a young teen. My dad was a part of it, and so I remember being in Atlanta at a big gathering of men and hearing pastors and men lift their voices and cry out to the Lord. I remember being in Washington, D.C. for Stand in the Gap, which was a big thing. They had a million men gather together and be there to stand in the gap, to stand up for what was right, to stand up to make God king and Lord and to proclaim Him as such. I remember that. I was a part of it. I remember when I was younger, my dad was an ambassador for Promise Keepers, and there was a meeting that was taking place in Colorado. And the first time I ever flew, we jumped on a plane and we went there. But I did not make the all-star baseball team that year. I don't know about you, but I had some disappointment as a young teen. I thought I would done well enough to make the all-star baseball team, and I did not. And so I had some extra time on my hand, and because of that, it allowed me to fly across country with my dad and be there for that. And while we were there, we were staying with YWAM, Youth with a Mission, that was present, and my dad was in these meetings, and I was there, and they came to me and said, hey, we feel like you're supposed to go on a journey with us this summer. And my dad had a decision to make. One, am I gonna let my son stay while I leave and go home and let him go across country? And that was my first time flying, so even to fly back. And he did, and he left me there. And we went around the country and we were telling people about Jesus, and here I am, 12, 13 years old. And it was in that time, somewhere in the Midwest, I don't even know what state we're in over there, but we're somewhere in the Midwest, at a small church that I began to feel God's call on my life to be a minister of the gospel vocationally. And it was because of the let's step up and step out movement. So when we're talking about promise keepers today, I really quickly want to recap some of the ones since we're finishing today. If you haven't been here for all of them, I encourage you to go back and listen to all of them on YouTube because they were incredible. Our pastor started off with it being our surrender and the promise of that, the promise of there being no condemnation, there being an unshakable love, that we have peace, that God promises peace, that God promises rest, that God is our perfecter, and that last week we heard that God is present. And those are incredible promises that we can have, and they've led me to today and what I want to share, because my heart, my desire when I look at this body of believers is, one, I love you dearly, and I love serving here. And my heart's desire is to see men and women that gather together on a weekly basis begin to step up. To step up. To not just come to church and hear something and understand the promises and just say, thank you, Jesus, then walk out of here the same, but there be actual change in our lives. Let me give you a couple of equations here. The first one is this: information minus the application is actually an abomination. I want you to get that. If we come in here to church, or we gather in Bible study, or we have times where God challenges us in our own time alone with Him, but we do not apply that word to our everyday life when we leave the house, when we leave the building, then it's actually an abomination. It has nothing there. But hear this, the second equation: information plus the application equals transformation. It equals change. It equals the transformation that happens in your life. And guess what? It's not just for you. It's everyone around you. It spills out everywhere. Every person that you encounter will know that you've been with Jesus because of the encounter and the change and the application of the promises that you can hold on to. So today's promise that we're going to talk about is one that I hope spurs us to action. We're going to talk about the fact that God promises His believers power through the Holy Spirit. That God promises you and me as believers, if you're here in this room and you have asked Him to be Lord and Savior of your life, you are a believer, you are a Christ follower. And because of that, the Holy Spirit is now a part of your everyday life. And it's for you to go out and be a witness for Him. And we're gonna look at that passage, and we're gonna look at one character throughout Scripture really closely and see how this can apply to us today. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Acts chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. And this is a story that many of us know, but I want us to see this power as a promise. And what's happening here is Jesus is meeting with His disciples, His apostles, after His death, His burial. He's now been resurrected, and this is His last charge to His people. This is the last challenge that He has with them before He ascends to heaven. It's a passage, especially once with these verses, you'll know very well. But I want us to see what He's saying here and how it can apply to our lives to live with the same kind of power that is told here. Acts chapter 1, verses 6 through 9 says this: "So when they had come together, they asked Him, 'Lord, will at this time restore the kingdom of Israel?' He said to them, 'It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by His own authority.'" Here's the verse. "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be My witness in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." And then when He had said these things, as they were looking on, He was lifted up, and a cloud took Him out of their sight. Jesus gives this charge to the apostles, to the disciples, to sit there that were present so that they knew to go into action. They weren't supposed to just sit there. There was a charge. There was something for them to do, and that was to be a witness to everyone around them. But not just right there in the city where they were at, but in all of the areas around them. They were supposed to take it everywhere they went. And can I just really quickly challenge all of us to understand that if you are in this room and you are a child of the King, meaning you have said yes to Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life, I need you to understand something. You are a minister of the gospel. Did you hear me say that? I want to make sure that we're leaning into this because here's the challenge and the charge. This is for you. It's not just the pastors of a church. It's not just for those that are called vocationally. I was having a great conversation with someone not long ago, and we were talking about this. Here's the deal. There are some of us that are called to vocational ministry. And so we have this call to be vocational ministers. That's what I've been doing for 20 plus years, and I love it. But that calling is the same to you to be ministers of the gospel. Jesus is standing here saying, hey, I'm giving you power. You're not gonna be left alone. The Holy Spirit is gonna come and dwell in you, and you're going to walk out of here with confidence and with courage to go and tell people about what you've seen with me. So every time we gather in this place, every time we have a time alone with the Lord and he speaks clearly to us, or we're in a Bible study, and we learn something, it's the application of going and telling others about it. That's you, that's me. Here's the deal. You are all called to be ministers of the gospel. There are some of us who are signed to be ministers of the gospel in the church. But here's what I want you to understand. I've been saying this to students for a long time. The greatest mission fields you will ever walk on are the right here and right now. The greatest mission fields that you will walk on to are right here and right now, because that's where God has already placed you. He's placed you in that workplace. He's placed you in that neighborhood strategically, like with purpose. No matter the struggles, no matter the things, and again, we love the fact that we can hold on to the peace and the rest that we need, but there's action that comes with it in the people around us so that transformation can take place in their lives. You and I are supposed to be ministers of the gospel. And so here's what I want us to do today. We're gonna look at one specific character in scripture who was present this day. When Jesus gives this command, when Jesus gives this promise in saying that you will have all the power that's gonna come on you to go and tell the world right now. This character is Peter. Anybody like Peter? I don't know about you. I love the story of Peter. And so we're gonna do a flyby of him in scripture and look a little bit at him and how his journey began as a called savior. And so our leader, the first part here is number one, Peter stepped into a new calling. Luke 5, 10 through 11. If you have your Bible, slip there with me. Luke 5, 10 through 11. Here's what's going on. Peter in Luke is a fisherman. That's his occupation. That's who he is. That's what he's doing. He's fishing. He's catching fish. Anybody like to fish in here, by the way? Any fishermen in here? Anybody like to throw a line in? I love it. It's a lot of fun. Sometimes really boring. You know what I mean? Some of you are like, yes, because you've been on the boat where nobody catches anything. And you put a lot of time and effort into it. You have all the gear and you go out there and you fish and it's tough. Well, Peter at this point in his life is a fisherman. That's his occupation. That's what he's doing. And in Luke chapter 5, verses 10 and 11, what we see is Jesus has just come on to their boat, and now they're sitting there, and they've been fishing all day, they're tired, and Jesus gives them a command, and this is what happened in verse 10. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon Peter. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you'll be catching men." And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. Well, why did they do that? Because in that moment, Jesus, they've been tired, they've been fishing, nothing had happened. And all of a sudden, Jesus says, hey, do it one more time. Cast it on the other side this time. You guys may know the story, and they do. And next thing you know, they pull up loads and loads of fish. And this is not a fish tale. This is a real life story. And it changed everything for these guys. I mean, it was astounding. It caused them to go, whoa, what is going on? And Jesus now changes the occupation for these guys, because now Peter, James, and John right there, they begin to step into a different relationship. So here's what we're gonna look at when we look at Peter. We're gonna see that Peter steps in to his calling. The first part for any of us in here is to make sure that we've stepped in to our calling, which is knowing Jesus as Lord and Savior. And can we just real quick be honest? There are some of us in this room that have done a really good job at playing Christian. We know every right answer. We know how to act. We know when to act. We know who act around. But we've never truly personally for ourselves stepped into a calling, into a relationship with the Lord. And so let me just go ahead, instead of the end of the message, give an invitation right now, understanding that that has to be where it starts. If you want the promises of God, it has to start with you knowing the Lord. Not your parents, students. It's not about your parents knowing Jesus. It's about you personally knowing the Lord. I was 8 years old when I gave my life to the Lord. The worst thing I had done, I think, was take a cookie when I wasn't supposed to. But I knew that I was in need of a Savior. And it was from that moment on, I began to grow and develop, still not perfect, but understanding that I needed the King of Kings and Lord of Lords to redeem and restore me because I was lost. And maybe that's you in here right now, and the first thing that you have to do in order to have the power of the Holy Spirit or even the promises that God gives to us is you have to first step into that and give your life to Him. So the first thing we see that Peter does is he steps into his calling. He steps into a relationship with the Lord. The second thing that we see in Peter, like I said, we're doing a flyby of his life. There's a lot that could happen. The next thing I want you to see, though, is in Matthew chapter 14. And this is the story of when Jesus had been preaching and teaching. The men were tired. The disciples were tired. He got them on a boat, sent them out. And the men are on the boat. A storm comes. Jesus isn't there. And all, lo and behold, they see someone walking on the water. Okay, and this is where we're gonna pick up and seeing what happens here in verse 27, Matthew chapter 14. But immediately Jesus spoke to them saying, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." And Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come out to the water." And he said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." And Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" Now, I wish I could say I would be like Peter and step out of the boat, but I don't know if I would. You know what I mean? Like a storm is happening. And Jesus is on the water, and Peter has the courage to ask and say, "Hey, if that is you, tell me to come to you." And not only was he told to do so, he actually did it. I think that's a good challenge for us right there. If you've stepped into your relationship with Jesus, what is God calling you out to go do? What is God calling you to step out into that might be a little uncomfortable, that might be a little scary, that might lead to some extra turbulence with that friend because you know you need to tell them about Jesus, but you're not sure if you can because of what they may think? Can I just real quick tell you, the world needs some bold, courageous believers. The world needs Christians that are walking out of churches on fire and with passion and with courage and with boldness that are willing to step out of the boat. And here's what we love and can know about Jesus is even when we fail or look left or right or think it's in my own purpose or who I am, God is right there to help us get back up. So let's get out of the boat. Church, my challenge to students, like I said, I've been doing this for a long time and can I tell you, I love it, but I'm constantly trying to call students to step out. Because here's what I know. The greatest mission fields they will ever walk on are the right here and right now, and their schools are some of the greatest mission fields. That's it. We have to change our mentality a little bit though, because, and this could be schools or whatever, and I've said this numerous times, but so many times we enter our workplaces or the places we're at, and it's more of a prison than a platform. You know what I mean? It's more of the place we have to be. I don't wanna be here, get me out of here, just let me make it through the day, give me my paycheck. Schools could be, just let me get my 4 years done in high school and leave. We all have this mentality and we have to break that. There needs to be a shift in our minds that God has strategically placed us where he wants us to use us. Strategically. But we have to be willing to recognize that and step out of the boat. So, today, where are you? I don't have a clue. I don't know where every single person here's occupation is or what you are doing or what neighborhood you live in. But I just wanna challenge you today to step out to your neighbor. Step out at the grocery store. Have that tough conversation. Maybe it's with family. All being a witness for the Lord. And here's once again, we're going to come back to it in a second, but all through the power of the Holy Spirit living inside of you and I. So Peter steps into a relationship with Jesus. Peter steps out of the boat. The next thing that Peter does, though, is something that I think we all can easily like relate to. He has a moment where he steps back. He has a moment in his life where even though he's walked closely with Jesus and even though he's seen God do incredible things through Jesus, he takes a moment where he steps back and says, whoa, whoa, whoa. And this is what's taking place after the Lord's Supper in the Garden of Gethsemane. And all these things have happened. And Jesus has told him, and guess what? You're gonna deny me three times. And Peter's like, not me, no. I've already stepped out of the boat. You got me. I got this. We're all in this, Jesus. And she says, nope, you're going to deny me three times. And Peter once again says, no. And so I want you to see what happens in Peter right here in Luke chapter 22. Look at what happens in Luke chapter 22 and in his life right here. It says in verses 54 through 60, this is when they've just seized Jesus. It says in verse 54, then they seized him, Jesus, and led him away, bringing him into the high priest's house. And Peter was following at a distance. And when they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat down among them. Then a servant girl, a little girl, okay, young child, says this, seeing him as he sat in the light and looking closely at him, she said, this man also was with him, meaning with Jesus. In verse 57, but he, Peter, denied it, saying, woman, I do not know him. And then a little bit later, someone else saw him and said, hey, you also are one of them, meaning disciple, follower of Jesus. But Peter said, man, I am not. And after an interval of about an hour, still another insisted, saying, certainly this man also was with him, for he too is a Galilean. Verse 60, but Peter said, man, I do not know what you are talking about. And immediately, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. Now here's what I mean with this, and I want to challenge us with this thought, is Peter had stepped into his relationship, he had stepped out of the boat with all this courage and had these moments, but now he stepped back at a time. And I've got some camouflage up here with me, and I don't know if some of you have already turned me off because you saw this up here, and the idea of camo, you're not a fan of. I like to hunt. Sorry, I do. I'm not even gonna ask if you like to or not, but I enjoy it. For me, it's peaceful. I get to go hide in the woods. I get to get away for a little while. I get to go and sit and be quiet, which is not normal in my world, all right? And it's a time for me to go and test some skills even. And so I enjoy hunting. And so here's why I brought this though, is because here's what I think so many of us in our life can do, is we can go every single day into our closet, knowing that we've stepped into a calling with the Lord, a relationship with him. We've had those moments of stepping out, but then every day we have the opportunity to either step up, which is next, or to step back and just become a camo Christian. Someone who just wants to blend into the environment and the culture around them. And so we put on the camo. We put on the camouflage just so that we don't stand out. You ever had a moment like that? I know I have. I know I failed numerous times where I've had moments and I know God has called me to say something and I didn't do it. I've had moments where I knew I should have spoke up and I didn't. I had moments where my words were not edifying to the Lord because of the company I was in. And so if we're not careful, this is the place we end up, is a camo Christian, someone that comes to church and puts on one attire. And then as soon as we walk out in the environments we are in, we put on a jacket to just blend in. Guys, we are not called to blend in with this culture. We are not called to blend into our schools, into our workplaces. And I don't know if that was, I don't know where you're at, but that was a pretty weak applause, by the way. I'm just saying, I want to encourage you. Hey. I mean, I'm up here sweating in a new jacket now. This thing's meant to be hot. But I want you to get the picture of what we do. And I know this is a silly visual, if you will, but every single day, if you're a Christ follower, you have the opportunity to choose how you're going to dress for the day. In boldness and courage, or in fear and trembling. In moments where we step back and blend in and try not to have the world see us. And real quick, this happens in our language. I mean, really and truly, real quick challenge to every single one of us in here. Our language is a very, very quick way for people to identify us for Christ followers or not. If our language sounds just like the world, then why would they want to come in here? Information without application is an abomination. Let's instead be people who come into God's house, who open God's word, take the information that he gives us, download it into our life in such a way that it becomes application that then becomes transformation for our lives and everyone else around us. A camo Christian is not what we're supposed to be. We're not called to blend in. Instead, what you and I are called to do every day when we wake up and we walk into our closets, we have the choice of what we're gonna put on, and that is either the camo and just bow down to it, or it is taking God's word and letting this be what leads and guides our every direction. We open God's word, and this is the mirror that we look in, not to see how we look in the field, how quiet we need to be putting on the right. No, we let this be our mirror that shows us what we should say and how we should say it. This gives us power. So real quick question, how often are you in this? If we want power, if we want God to use us, we have to be here. We have to let it examine our lives. We have to choose to put this on every single day. The final thing that Peter does, and this is the final one, we see it comes right back to it. So we saw a little bit before, he stepped into a relationship with Jesus, his calling. He stepped out of the boat and had this moment of, yes, here we go. He's now stepped back. And aren't we glad that God doesn't keep us there? When we failed and had those moments, he says, come on, let's do it again. Let's step up. So if you've had those moments and you're sitting here right now and you're living in the camo Christian life, choose different. That's it. It's every day deciding, hey, God, I'm going to give you my day. I'm going to choose a different thing, because the next thing that we want to do is we need to step up. And Peter steps up, and we see that in Acts chapter 2. So right after Jesus has given them this charge, Jesus ascends to heaven, and the apostles gather. And as they're gathered together, they're praying. And the Holy Spirit does just what Jesus would do, or said he would do. It fell heavy on them. And then after that moment, they begin to speak in different languages. All these things are happening, and people are beginning to be drawn to them. Real quick, if you're a Christ follower, people will be drawn to authenticity in your life. They'll be drawn to what is different in your life. We don't want the status quo. None of us would settle for it. We want authentic. We want real. And in this moment, all of these things have happened and people are being drawn to them. And so now we see what happens in Peter, in Acts chapter 2, verse 14, it says this. But Peter, standing with the 11, this is what all these other people have gathered, lifted up his voice and addressed them, the people, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. Peter steps up. He is now willing and ready to be the mouthpiece of God, and he goes on to sit there and proclaim Jesus to the crowd. He stepped up. And as he does that, we're gonna move on, Acts chapter, after his message there, verses chapter 2, 20, 37 through 38 says this. Now when they had heard this, they were cut to the heart, the people, and said, to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Verse 41 says, so those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. Real quick picture of that. Go by Klein High School. There are about 3,000 plus high schoolers on that campus. Gathered in here with us today, pretty close to that. Imagine if God's word, the challenge that Peter gave, the call to repent and give their lives to the Lord, penetrated the hearts of every person that listened and they did something about it. 3,000 new missionaries, 3,000 new ministers going out into all the world and telling of all that God had done. So here's the application for us today. If we want God's power, we have to step into a relationship with Jesus. We have to step out in boldness. We have to fight the temptation to step back. And instead, we have to step up. We have to step up. And this is my battle cry. This is my charge to you. And last couple of things I want to give you as we're going out of here. Peter and John kept preaching. There's more going on. And I'll just read these in Acts chapter 4, verse 13. It says, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, perceived that they were uneducated, they were in trouble, they'd been brought in front of the priests and the people there. They were common men. They were astonished. And they recognized that they had been with Jesus." So how do you do this? How do we choose to step up? Number one is your proximity to him. The people knew that they had been with Jesus because, well, they had been with Jesus. They smelt like him. They talked like him. They acted like him. Second thing that we can see a little bit farther is Acts 4:31, "And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness." What that says is that we gotta keep gathering. We have to keep gathering, church. If you know King Jesus, it's so important for us to keep gathering. Do not fall into the temptation of like not making church a priority. Real quick, let me just challenge you with that. We're all busy. And if you're a child of the King, I just want you to hear this. If you're a child of the King and you've given your life to the Lord, Satan has lost you forever. So the best thing he could possibly do is just making you so busy that you won't be effective. Have you so busy doing other things, and even though they're good things, that you won't be effective? God calls us, if we're gonna apply this to our lives today, we have to be in close proximity to him. And we have to keep gathering, because the beautiful part of this is we get to rally together. We get to pray together. We get to go on mission out of this place together to go to wherever God has strategically placed you. Step in. Step out, resist that desire to step back, and let's step up. Our God is a promise keeper, and he promises power through his Holy Spirit. Let's charge the hill together. I love it.
Thanks so much for watching. We pray you've been encouraged and challenged. At Champion Force, we focus on advancing the kingdom of God by making disciples, loving our community, and strengthening the church. We are passionate about all kinds of people coming to know God and growing in their relationship with him. We would love the opportunity to talk and pray with you. To connect with us, just go to championforce.org/connect. Of course, we can't wait to welcome you in person at one of our three locations in the near future. For campus-specific times and details, just visit our website at championforce.org. We'll see you very soon.